welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Turn the Page podcast. This is Jessica with Syosset Library. And on the other side of this, I actually have someone else from Syosset who does host a podcast. Could you please introduce yourself to those who might not know?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me, Jessica. My name is John Durante. I'm the proud principal of Syosset High School. And I also have a podcast called The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast, where we try to help students and parents navigate just that, the college admissions process.
So first of all, just a little history. You were Mr. Durante back in the day, right? When I was in high school? Or were you Dr.
Yes.
Durante, but you were the teacher, Dr. Durante?
So I started teaching in Syosset in 1994. And then after 6 years, I went into the administrative roles. I was a dean, the AP, and I'm proudly in my 12th year as the principal. So in 2005, that's when I received my doctoral degree in school administration and supervision. You have a great memory, Jessica.
Yeah, I was going to say, my memory isn't as bad as I thought it might be. Right. So I graduated actually in 97. So we did cross paths. So I obviously, like I said, I graduated in 97 and I went off to school. And you know, the process of applying for colleges and looking for colleges, it was competitive back then. And I know Syosset, we all try to reach really high. We really all want to reach our potential. The idea of vetting colleges comes up fairly early in our conversations, and we are known for being very competitive where we go. So as the principal of Syosset High School and someone who has been within the district for so long, how did you come to start this podcast?
Well, thank you so much for that introduction. And yes, the process is absolutely extremely competitive. And let me start by saying that Syosset High School has the best guidance departments in the entire nation. And I say that not only because I'm the principal, because in my 28 years in the building, I've had the great fortune of attending many of their evening programs, daytime programs, individual programs with students and parents, and everything and anything in between. And they truly are outstanding. So I recently went through the process for my own children. I have a daughter who's currently a junior in college and one who just started as a freshman, and both of them are in schools up in Connecticut. And what I came to realize is that not everyone is as fortunate as Syosset to have such an awesome guidance department and the programs that we have for parents, again, during the day and in the evenings. So when I was going through the process with my own daughters, and I have two very different kids, one a little bit more academic, the other one not as academic. She had an IEP and nothing came easy to her. I definitely got extremely involved as a parent, and I would email reps and they would call me, they would email me, they were very accessible, and I was really appreciative of that. And I came to realize that I wanted to do my own podcast because I got into podcasts on something completely unrelated. I am a big soccer fan, believe it or not, Jessica. And when we were on lockdown, I started listening to a lot of podcasts about soccer coaching in particular, because I have my licenses now and you always want to better yourself. And so I got into some great podcasts on that topic. So enough about that boring piece of the story. I came to the realization that, you know what? I want to do this because I just love, I love podcasts because of the on-demand nature of it. I don't have a lot of time, but I do get about 25 minutes to work in the morning and probably about a half hour coming back from work in the late afternoons. And that's when I listen to my podcast. So I love the on-demand nature. And I thought, let me do one of my own. Believe it or not, when I was really young, I used to actually be a DJ. And I said, this is great. I have to do this. But what is it that I have to offer? And I thought, nobody wants to hear me talk about soccer. So I came up with the idea because I had just finished going through the process myself as a parent after helping hundreds and hundreds and perhaps thousands of students through to high school. And I said, what if the college admissions reps who have been so accessible to me when I had to go through it with my own kids, what if they'd be willing to have conversations with me, number one, to talk about their great schools, but more importantly, to talk about college essays, teacher recommendations, applications, do's and don'ts. What should a student show if they want to prove their demonstrated interest? And on and on and on, with the whole point of giving advice to not only the students, but their parents who are going through the college admissions process. So one day I decided, let me try it. So I sent about 9 emails to reps that I got to know pretty well over the years. And immediately 7 out of the 9 agreed to do the podcast, which I said was terrific. Except at that point, I got really nervous because I had no idea where to even begin. How do you record a podcast? How do you get a podcast on Spotify, on Apple, and on and on and on? So I did what anyone else would do. I went to Google and I did a lot of searching. So I won't bore you with all of the different programs that I have and what you have to subscribe to, but I just did it. I came up with this concept. There were people willing to talk to me, and we started recording and we started releasing episodes. And it has been extremely rewarding and extremely fun, because I know that we're helping a lot of students and their parents, by the way, not only in the great state of New York, but beyond. One of the programs that I subscribe to gives you analytics. And I'm happy to say that there are people listening, again, not only in New York, but Chicago, LA, you name it. There are people listening, and it's just been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that actually speaks to one of the things that I really like about podcasts and podcasting is that you mentioned just how great the guidance department is at Syosset High School. And I didn't realize until I went away to school how much we had with resources in the area. You know, we're very lucky, very, very fortunate. And one of the things that a podcast can do, and especially like what your podcast is doing, is you're bringing some of that energy to a national audience. So you can get a little bit of that Syosset know-how, a little bit of that insider knowledge, even if you are not actually at the school.
Exactly. And that's what I come to realize, is that we're very fortunate because, first of all, we have a community that is very pro-education. And in Syosset, you can't remain stagnant. We don't wait for a state mandate to tell us what to do. We are always looking to better ourselves. And that's why we love working where we work. And that's why so many of us have been there for so long, because it's just, you know, I don't know if there's Yankee fans or Met fans out there, but I'm going to say it's like playing for the Yankees, or at least the Yankees in the 90s when they were really good. That's what it's like to play, to work in Syosset. And so I've always been one that likes to help people. That's been it. When my daughters were really young, they used to ask, Daddy, what do you do? And Daddy would always say, you know what, girls, I help people. And I really felt that there's a need here, because many other places don't have the great fortune of a guidance department that has multiple programs, evening programs, daytime programs, when you're not even in the high school, when you're in ninth grade and 10th grade. Their program is so comprehensive and frankly, second to none. So I thought, again, after I went through with my own daughters, this would be a great platform to help students and their parents.
So you mentioned a little bit about how in the beginning you just queried a bunch of schools and you got a pretty good return on your queries. So have you changed the way that you reach out to some of these reps since you really got started with the College Admission Process podcast?
So what's really interesting is that many of the reps themselves have said to me, this is great. Have you interviewed so-and-so from this college or university? So what's starting to happen is that a lot of the reps who obviously know each other because they go to college fairs together, there are different associations for college admissions representatives, they're starting to connect me with people through their own networks. But really, so that's one of the big change. But really what I'm doing is sending an email saying, here's the podcast. And the difference from 3 months ago to now is that now I could give them links to the conversation with Cornell University, a link with the rep from the University of Michigan, the University of Florida, and on and on and on. So now they're seeing that it's actually legitimate. And so it's becoming a little easier for people to say, yes, I definitely want to be a part of it. The difficult part is scheduling it, because the reps are extremely busy during application reading time. And so I'm just being flexible. Sometimes we do it in the evening. Sometimes I do it on weekends. My holidays away from Syosset High School are full of recordings. I could tell you that during the February break, I recorded 16 episodes. So, and that's just the recording part. And then you have to edit each episode. So you could imagine I'm putting a lot of time into this and energy, but I'm having so much fun with it.
Yeah, it's so funny. And I say this because I was very amused. Did you happen to watch Only Murders in the Building? They name drop Syosset in it.
I haven't seen that one, but I know that Syosset gets dropped a lot, and hopefully for positive things.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's great. It's a great show, and it's about a podcast, which is sort of why I brought it up. But it's funny to me because the main characters, who are Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez, are making this true crime podcast about something that happens in their building. And I remember saying to one of my fellow librarians, the one thing that really annoys me about that show is they're just putting podcasts out. Who's doing the editing? It's not Steve Martin's character, and it's not Short's character. There's who's making sure that it's on the podcast? How, who's checking the analytics? So that is, something that I think back in the day, and I'm not saying I'm a master podcaster by any means, but back in the day, I probably would have just watched the show and just sort of been like, yeah, they're making podcasts. But now, and when you're talking about it, I'm thinking about it, it is a lot of work. You don't just make a podcast. It requires planning.
It's definitely a lot of planning, but all of that, Jessica, has actually been a lot of fun. From picking my introduction music, which I also use as part of the outro, picking the name of the podcast, the logo, but researching, again, how do you record a podcast? And in my case, I knew that I was going to be recording reps from, frankly, throughout the entire country. So it had to be online. It had to be remote. And so I found out, for example, that using a platform called Riverside.fm is like a Zoom. It's a virtual meeting, but it provides high quality audio, separate files for each guest. And if you choose to use the video, it provides you separate video files as well. Then you have to find out, well, okay, so you record it, you got to edit it. And I'm telling you, 3 months ago, I had no idea how to edit. And I am now a semi-expert in GarageBand. And believe it or not, that's all it is. I use my Apple desktop and I edit in GarageBand. But the other piece was finding out, how do you get it on Spotify? How do you get it on Apple, Google, and on and on and on? So I have to give credit and a shout out to one of my students. His name is Matthew Kellner. He's still a current student at Syosset High School. He has a very successful podcast called Buzzer Beater Sports, where he interviews current NFL players. He's had Howie Rose. He's had Doc Gooden, who played in the Mets, of course, in the late 80s, and on and on and on. And I said, Matt, the one thing I can't figure out is, how do you get it on all these platforms? And he introduced me to something called Captivate.fm. So that's another subscription, just like Riverside.fm. But what Captivate.fm does is it allows you to upload the MP3 file, not the WAV file, which is what I get initially, and I have to convert in GarageBand. And it also shoots it out for you, again, to Spotify, Google, Apple, and anywhere anyone listens to podcasts. But the beauty of Captivate is that it gives you those analytics. So as of today, I have over 3,600 unique listeners, and the podcast has been out for about a month and a half, and it's growing. So that's really important in terms of the overall number of unique listeners. But again, like I said earlier, it also gives you how many people from Chicago, from LA, and on and on. And I even have a couple of people, I'm not quite sure how, from out of the country, you know, Italy, England, and on and on. So it's been a lot of fun. But again, 3 months ago, I didn't know any of this. So it's talking to other people that have podcasts. And luckily nowadays, as you know, we have Google, where there are articles, there are videos, you name it, it's all there.
When you started this to now, have there been any surprises that you've kind of discovered speaking to reps? Like, have you ever gone into an interview and you really thought they were going to say one thing and they threw a curveball at you, which you had never really thought of in that sense?
So nothing like that, where they threw me a curveball in the sense of the conversations that we're having. The big surprise is just how accessible they are and how wonderful they are and willing to, first of all, share about all the great programs that their schools have to offer, but also share the insight in terms of what it's like on their side of the table, where they're reviewing hundreds and in many cases, thousands of applications. So nothing in terms of a big surprise in the conversation, but what the surprise is that schools differ. You know, there are schools that allow you to apply ED. There are schools that don't. More schools are becoming test optional. They all look at the transcript. And of course, that's the number one thing in terms of the rigor and the GPA. By the way, most of them recalculate the GPA. They see the GPA given from the high school, but they recalculate it using their own metrics. They all pretty consistently make it very clear that obviously an essay, please don't just repeat what's on in other parts of the application. You want to express what your personality is, what your interests are in that essay. In fact, one rep gave great advice. She said, after you read your essay, if there is nothing new that a rep learned about you, go back to it. You know, it's really important that you use that platform, the college essay, to express who you are as a person, right? So, you know, and there's so much more, you know, there's really so much more. And again, just how accessible everyone has been, that's been, you know, tremendous.
So when you do your podcasts, do you always know about how long you want to record for, or do the reps themselves drive that process?
So ideally, you want an episode that's probably around 30 minutes to 45 minutes tops, because, you know, you don't want the episode to be 2 hours. It's just way too long. You know, I mentioned earlier that my commute is 25 minutes one way, 30 to 35 minutes the other way. Obviously, some people have longer commutes or shorter commutes, but you don't want it to be too long where, you know, the information just gets lost. But to your point, yes, the reps drive how long it's going to be. So I have episodes that are as little as 20 minutes. And, you know, in one case, Syracuse University, who she was phenomenal. Her name is Asma. And ironically, guess what? She is a Syosset resident. Surprise, surprise. There's always a connection to Syosset. She was so thorough and so great that I decided to make that episode a two-part series. So it really is driven by the reps. So you have a case like Asma, who spoke eloquently for regarding so many different topics that we made it a two-part series. And I have reps who also spoke eloquently, but their episodes ended up being only 25 minutes. And then I have everything in between. But you try to catch that 30 to 45 minute range. That's really the ideal podcast episode length, in my opinion. But I would never limit what the reps have to say or want to say.
How do you feel in all of your time at Syosset that the admission process has changed? And how do you feel that maybe your podcast has allowed you to plug into that a bit?
So I think the big change has been COVID, and more schools are going test optional, which is making the process more and more difficult for the college reps. And another thing I want to mention is that obviously with the common application, more students are applying to additional schools. So I say all of that because on the college admission side, they have to really try hard to figure out what their yield is going to be. In other words, if they have 1,000 spots and they admit 1,400 students, they know that out of the 1,400 students, maybe 800 are going to actually show up. And of that, they decide, okay, based on those metrics, those numbers, that yield, you know, we could put 300 students, 400 students, whatever it's going to be on a wait list. So that's just a little bit of an insight in terms of what they go through. And the problem becomes that those numbers change from year to year. So it's not that you could say in you know, this year we accepted 1,000 students and 800 came. Next year, that number is going to change. If you accept 1,000, maybe only 700 come. And so it's really just interesting how the use of the Common App, the use of Test Optional, which is allowing students to perhaps try to apply to schools that maybe they wouldn't apply to if their SAT or the ACT test was not as favorable. It's interesting to try to see from the admissions rep's perspective how much more difficult it has become because of things like that.
So I am not sure what the Common App is. Would you please elaborate on that? This is the first time I'm hearing about it. My kids are way too young to apply for college. So.
Sure. So the Common Application is basically a streamlined process where I don't know the exact number of school, but it's definitely in the hundreds, where you fill out the same application and then you could apply to schools that accept the Common App. One of the problems with that is that if you write an essay saying that, you know, in the end, and this is why I want to go to the University of Maryland. Well, when you submit to Maryland, it's fine for your essay to say, and this is why I'm applying to the University of Maryland. But when you apply to another school, let's say University of Virginia, that may be on the Common App, you want to make sure that you update your essay and not send, you know, your Michigan comment to the University of Virginia and vice versa. So the Common App, again, it's a website. It's very streamlined. It allows you to upload your demographic information, your activity sheet, your essay. Guidance counselors are able to upload the high school transcript through it, along with their letter of recommendation and teacher letters of recommendation.
Wow, how things have changed.
Yeah, they sure have. And again, I went through it with my own children. And yes, I mean, I don't even want to start to tell you, Jessica, what it was like when I went to high school, where it was a paper application with bubble sheets. Yes, things have changed.
Right. I went to high school very much like right on the cusp of the internet becoming accessible to everybody. And it wasn't really even until the end of my senior year, and by I mean accessible internet, I mean AOL discs that we would get that would say that you have, like, I don't know, 150 free hours of internet, which you'd fight your parents for picking up the phone. So if you know what I'm talking about.
I do. I certainly
the
do.
The listeners know what I'm talking about. That is when I went. So I think the changeover wasn't quite there yet, as far as applications go. Everything was still very much, you know, pen and paper, although I believe you had to type up an essay. So yes, which was great because the Syosset Library was there if you needed some time to research scholarships or if you needed to print out your essay. How things have changed.
Yeah, they certainly have. They certainly have. But it is a lot easier in that sense. Obviously, we don't have to use typewriters or whiteout or anything like that. Thank heavens for that.
So before we go, so you mentioned your theme song. How did you find your theme song?
So I spoke to a friend of mine who actually retired from Syosset High School just a few years back. His name is Larry Ballaroo. He was one of the band directors and a phenomenal, phenomenal musician. He's been in Syosset forever. And I know a lot of students and parents know him and have the utmost respect for him. So obviously, you know, when it came to figuring out how you even do that, I called Larry Ballaroo. And he explained that there are audio banks online, and you just have to listen to clip after clip after clip and pick the one that you like and then pay for it. You have to get the copyrights. And that's what I did. And it's funny, even that was a little bit of a process. Initially, I thought I love jazz and jazz is classy. Maybe I'll do something with jazz. But after listening to dozens of clips, something just didn't seem right. You know, I grew up in Brooklyn, an urban environment. I happen to like hip hop. And I said, you know, throughout this whole thing, I'm going to just be who I am. I'm not going to try to be anything other than who I am. So I started to listen to some hip hop clips. And I'll tell you, Jessica, I probably listened to about 150 hip hop clips. And the one that I selected, I just kept going back to it. It just felt right. And so I purchased it. And the rest is history.
That sounds a lot less painful than our process. We were very lucky at the time to have a gentleman by the name of Chris Crosby working for us, who was a musician himself and has actually played or had actually played with former members of the Grateful Dead. And, you know, I myself had not a lot of time at that time to really listen to a lot of royalty-free music, although I did know it was there. But Chris just kind of said, oh, there's this piece I'm not really working with, and I think it works, so what do you think? And I listened to it and picked the part that we thought was best for the intro and outro. Unfortunately, Chris had passed away the thing about that is that Chris is on every episode of Turn the Page. If he's not physically with us, so his legacy lasts with us. I find it so interesting because it is very difficult, because your music does, it sets the tone, and you don't want to be stuck with something that you're editing and you're just like, ugh.
Exactly.
Slog through listening to this again.
Exactly. And like I said, it just stuck with me. I listened to hundreds of first jazz and then hip hop, and it just stuck. And so I used it. And the other thing that was really important to me and is still really important to me is that the podcast is 100% free for the students and their parents. And as of this date, we have 22 episodes that are live. And there's a lot more to come. I'm going to be averaging at least one, but averaging most likely two per week for, you know, many, many more months. And I'm looking forward to just growing this. We also just started a separate series where we're talking to student athletes, collegiate student athletes from Yale University, Northwestern, Lafayette College, these are people who have played Division I, and in their series, they're talking about their journey, you know, whether it be lacrosse, soccer, what have you, their journey, but more importantly, advice, insight in terms of their recruitment process and advice to current high school students and their parents that aspire to play at the college level. So that's another branch of this. And we have some other things coming up. There's a particular rep who wants to come back and speak specifically to students who want to create portfolios, who want to be artists, and major in art in college. He himself was a theater major and works with student artists at the college he represents. And so it's just been a lot of fun meeting such great people from throughout the country. Many of them have their own ideas in terms of how we could continue to cultivate this thing. So I'm just collaborating with people. And that's what I love to do. I just love working with people, especially when it's in the name of helping others. And again, in this case, it's students and their parents.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you. This could connect listeners to college admissions process podcast and help them get resources. We will be a very happy library.
Well, you know, I really appreciate the opportunity, Jessica. It's an honor. First of all, you know how much I love SciOSIT. So anytime I could work with people in SciOSIT, and, you know, in your case, the library, it truly is a joy and an honor and a pleasure, because I know we're helping people not only in the SciOSIT community, but beyond. So anything that you need from me, I'm always ready, willing, and able to help.
Thank you so much. So once again, this was Jessica with Turn the Page Podcast, and our guest today was
John Durante.
And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.